First Corinthians. One of the great, great passages in the Word of God today. Next Sunday we'll be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So today I want to be talking with you today about the death of our Savior. The death of Christ. It's one of the two things that's the most important thing that's ever happened. I don't know how people and how we as people can really appreciate the death of Christ as we should. Do we really stop and think about the death of Christ? Why he really died? We think about and hear about people dying all the time. But the significance of Christ's death. A soldier goes and dies for his country. But Jesus Christ dies for the whole world. He dies for the whole world. But what saddens my heart today is that the world doesn't appreciate it. The world doesn't accept it. The world gives no thought about it, it seems. How does a country, as we just heard about in our Sunday school lesson, like England, become so great a Christian country in the past, and suddenly now it's no interest hardly there at all? How does a people get like that? Well, the same thing's happening to us. The technology has captivated this country. And more technology is coming along to captivate even more people's attention. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to share with you the first four verses of this chapter today. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Talking to the church, the believers in Corinth, once a very immoral, godless place, a place of idolatry, worship of idols and pagan gods. But now there's a church established there, and Paul is writing this letter to the believers in this church. He said, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And this is where it really gets important. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I want to talk with you a while today about that verse that says he died according to the scriptures. What does that mean? Well, back in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it told how Christ was going to die. He had to die the way God said in the Word he'd have to die. If he didn't die exactly like the prophet said, he wouldn't be authentic. He'd be a fake. But he died according to the Scriptures. May God speak to our heart. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection. For it is the power of God unto salvation, unto those who believe. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I praise you and thank you. You let me stand here again. I pray, make me a blessing, because I'm nothing. I'm just helpless. Speak to hearts today. Challenge hearts. Cause us to see from your word truths that are eternal, that bless us, that encourage us, that challenge us as we live in these days of apostasy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us what the gospel is. Did you know it's the only means of salvation there has ever been? The gospel. People have their ideas about how they can be saved. Well, I believe if I live a good life and a good neighbor, God will accept me. Well, you can believe that, but you're going to be disappointed. Well, I believe my religion is good as your religion. Well, problem is, God don't accept any religion. Is that where you're at now, huh? Well, I just believe God is good. He's not going to let anybody go to a place called hell. Well, keep believing that. Jesus Christ had to die to keep us out of a place called hell, because our sins had separated us from God. And we were dead in our sins. And none of us wanted to be saved. No person has ever wanted to be saved until the Holy Spirit gets to working on you after hearing the Word of God. That's the reason all the heathens are in the world today. People are disinterested. They don't hear this book, and the Holy Spirit don't work then. So they don't want to be saved. They're not concerned about being saved. They're concerned about this life now. Paul clearly tells us what the gospel is. It is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son, conceived in the womb of a virgin. He grew up into manhood around Nazareth. At the age of 30, he went into a ministry of about 3.5 years, gathered around him 12 men to be his disciples that he would teach so they could take over after he had accomplished the purpose for which God sent him into the world. Jesus Christ was sent into the world to die for sin. Up in the upper room, Jesus had his one last meal with his disciples. He excused Judas to go out to do his business. That was to betray him. Jesus got down and washed the other disciples' feet. After that, they left out, went down to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he struggled the rest of the night in prayer, praying, "Lord, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, but not my will, but thine be done." He was praying so hard that his sweat was drops of blood. Now, that's some hard praying, ain't it? But it wasn't God's will. There's no other way for people to be saved than the plan that God has instituted and ordained. That is by faith in Jesus Christ, who died for our sin. There's no other way to be saved, because God is who He is, a holy God. Sin had to be dealt with. So Jesus, while He's finished praying there in the garden, a company comes out of religious leaders and they arrest Him. He said, "Who do you seek?" "We seek Jesus." "I'm He." And they fell backwards. Brother Chavis likes to think about that. Brother Chavis, that verse just tells you they couldn't have one laid a hand on Him if He hadn't wanted them to. They couldn't have one put a hand on Him, because He could just speak and they fall backwards. But He didn't come to get out of being crucified. He come to be crucified. So He gave a surrender to them. Went through six mock trials. Finally, being beaten, rejected, He was crucified. In these verses today, I want to focus upon the last, on that verse that says that Jesus died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. The death of Jesus Christ is the most tragic death of all time, but it's the most needed death there has ever been. What makes it most tragic is who died. It wasn't just another person died. People die every day. People have been dying since I've been standing here this morning. A family went down to Mexico this week, checked into a condo, a family of four. Well, nobody ever heard from them. They got to checking, and they'd been dead for several days. Guessed. Somehow there was gas in the room and it killed the whole family. And that's tragic. People die every day from different ways. It was nothing planned from what they think. It just happened that way. People's dying. But listen, this death was needed. The death of Jesus Christ was needed to save me from my sin against my Creator, and you as well, and all people. This was not an ordinary man that died. This was the Son of God. Can y'all imagine God Almighty, the invisible, eternal God, had a son that was virgin born, that never sinned after 33 and a half years, never sinned in word, thought, or deed, or intention? And my personal belief, and you can believe what you want to, I don't believe He could have sinned. Now, I read where some preachers think He could have. He couldn't have. He was God. Amen. He was holy God. He hated sin. Amen. Amen? Praise God. Listen, this man had never sinned or did anything wrong. The Bible says He went about doing good. He went about doing good. He was the Son of God. Oh, what a Son of God. And you know what's so good this morning? That by the grace of God, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can be a son of God. And I can be a son of God. You can be a daughter of God. Amen? Adopted into His family and have equal rights with the Son of God. We're going to share in His inheritance. Isn't that something, folks? What makes it even more tragic is why He died. He died for His enemies. How many of you here today would die for your enemy? He died for those who did not want him. Is anybody here today don't want the Lord? He died for them. He died for to pay for all men's sin. All people. And boy, through the marvel of television today, we can see some wicked people, can't we? We can see some mean rascals. Jesus died for them, and he loved them as much as he loved any of us. Boy, that's, boy, I tell you what, that's something, ain't it? You think you're something? Well, God loves them wretches out there as much as he loves me. Great day. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. He died because he loved everybody so much. We can't fathom the love of God, folks. We try to, but we can't fathom the love of God. God is love. Great day in the morning. And when we get in his presence, oh, the love of God we'll enjoy forever. The love of God. There's not any fickle in God's love, folks. There's not any sham in God's love. His love is pure. Jesus died according to the scriptures, as I've already said. Isaiah the prophet wrote, hey, why don't you go to Isaiah? You ought to turn to Isaiah because it's worth it in Isaiah chapter 53. Because this is part of the scriptures that's referred to. Christ had to die according to the scriptures. Listen to what Isaiah said 700 years before Christ came. He is despised and rejected of men. Is that true or not? Yeah, he was despised in his day, and he's despised today. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Think about that. God smote his only son, folks. And afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was and afflicted, and he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are all like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. God laid all of our sin upon Jesus. Think about all the vulgarness and the awfulness of sin that was placed on a pure one, a holy one. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In other words, church, he didn't try to get out of it. He was submitted to what God had ordained for him to experience because of us. We were that loved. We were that loved. David, the psalmist, described the crucifixion in Psalms 22. Turn to Psalms 22. David described this 1,000 years before Christ was crucified. They didn't even crucify people when David said this. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says, and listen to how David describes Christ as hanging on the cross. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, and they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. All that really happened. It happened. It's in the New Testament that all this happened like David said it would 1,000 years before it took place. The death of Jesus Christ was pre-planned by God in order that God was going to deal with man's sin problem that had brought a curse on all God's creation. The sin of man was judged upon the cross of Jesus Christ. God was going to deal with sin once and for all, and God has did that, folks. And sin won't have to be dealt with again. The sin of the entire world was dealt with on the cross of Jesus Christ by Almighty God. Everybody's sin has been paid for. People will not go to hell because of sin. Listen carefully, church. People will go to hell because they don't have a Savior, Jesus. Sin's paid for. But if you don't have the Savior, you'll go to hell. In 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Can you make it any plainer? That we, being dead to sins, we believers, should live under righteousness now. We're to live a different life now, folks, that we believe in Jesus Christ, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's the second time we've seen that phrase. We saw it in Isaiah. We saw it here. What does that mean, preacher? By his stripes we're healed. Which according to who you ask. But if you want the truth, I'll tell you what the truth of it means. The truth of it means that because of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, your soul has been healed. It's not talking about your body. Your body healing is in the atonement. I believe that. But you haven't got that new body yet. You get that new body at the resurrection. Right here he's dealing with, hey, your soul will be healed when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God! Our soul has been healed. Healed forever. Amen? Amen. That's what it really means. Galatians 2:20. Turn there right quick. Hope you mark this in your Bible because it's that important verse of Scripture. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, every one of us believers died with him. Did you know that? We died with him. Nevertheless, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When Christ died, we died with him. And when we were baptized, our going down into the water is symbolic of our going down into his death. And when we were raised up out of that water, it's a picture of his resurrection. That's our identification. That's why we're told to be baptized. And I believe in baptism by immersion. God's Son was not overwhelmed by the mob that day and crucified. They didn't drag Jesus away. No, he walked away. He laid down his life freely. Jesus said in John 10:18, no man taketh it from me. How many times did they try to take Jesus during his 3-year ministry and he just escape away? They'd try to catch him and he'd just get out. They wanted to throw him down. Even the devil tried to throw him over, to entice him to jump over a cliff. Hey, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down on myself. I choose to lay my life down. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This commandment I've received from my Father. Jesus Christ knew he could die and get up. Amen? Boy, isn't that something? You know what you know? You know you can die, but you can't get up. Amen? One of my co-workers that I was working with back in the early 70s and early 80s, I got word this week, his wife called me, he had passed away. He was on dialysis because he was a diabetic. He was only 69. But he was at home and he stumbled and fell and hit his head on the corner of a cabinet and never regained consciousness. I went and saw him yesterday over at St. Paul's. I saw the body. You know, he didn't even move. He can't get up. One day, God will get him up because he was a strong Christian guy. I really love Lacey Shaw. His picture's back there on the wall. His picture's laying on my desk and been there for many, many years. A black guy. Really like that guy. They used to come out here and sing, his wife, many years ago. It's amazing how God arranged for his son to be crucified for our sin, the plan of salvation. God even used Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, to betray the Lord to his enemies. You see, if you won't work with the Lord can still use you, but it'll be in a bad way. God used one of the disciples who wouldn't accept Jesus as the Messiah to get Jesus crucified. And the Bible says he's the son of perdition. Boy, his eternal home is pitiful, isn't it? Think about a man that walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, heard the Lord, saw the Lord, enjoyed the Lord, and died and went to hell, brother. That's terrible, isn't it? Many people today have an opportunity to be saved, and they're not taking advantage of it. Just like Judas, he had advantage. Still wouldn't repent. How the religious Jews hated Jesus Christ. He was getting more attention than they were. They wanted him dead. They didn't want him dead during the Passover, but God insisted. Amen. God insisted. Jesus was claiming to be God, and the Jews said, well, that's blasphemous for a man to claim to be God. And it was on this charge that the Jews sought for Pilate to put Jesus to death. The only problem was Jesus was God. That was their problem. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, God transferred all of our sin to Jesus, who was innocent of sin. You've heard tell of people at the bank transferring one fund to another fund. Well, God transferred all of our sin over to Jesus. Boy, that's a transaction, weren't it? Think about the wisdom of God come up with his plan, folks, so he could save us. Think about what this plan that God has devised so he could save us. And there was no other plan. Jesus asked for another plan. God didn't have another plan that would satisfy a just God. So all the sin, all of our guilt, our condemnation, our shame was transferred to Jesus. All of our sin. Now, we might think we're pretty good people today sitting in this church. I've been a good person all my life. But you know what? Over the years, you've been kind of restrained because you've heard the gospel. And it's kind of restrained you whether you were aware of it or not. And your parents' training restrained you. But you know, if you hadn't had that restraint, there's no telling how far in sin you would be. There's no telling how deep in sin you'd be. A lot of these people out here that's in deep sin, they didn't have anything to restrain them. No parents teaching them. Nobody taking them to church. And the ugliness of their sin is coming out everywhere. We're the same way. We're cut out of the same cloth, every one of us. And all this was transferred from us to Jesus by God Himself. In Romans 5, beginning at verse 8, what precious scripture. But God commended His love towards us. Think about the awfulness of our sin before God, and yet He says, because of His love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us so much He let Christ die. Let that sink in a minute. Much more than being now justified by His blood. We've been justified by His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, when we believe, the Holy Spirit takes the blood and applies it to our heart. And we're justified. And I've told you all many times, I'll tell you again, if God will let me, I'll keep telling you again. Justified means, get this, put this down and never forget it. Justified means God sees you now as if you have never, ever sinned. Like you have never, ever sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus has did. Isn't that awesome? We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Romans 5, 8 through 10. Do you understand what it means to be a sinner? A sinner is unacceptable to God. I can't accept you. A sinner is not allowed in God's presence. A sinner can't talk to God unless he's asking for forgiveness through Jesus. He's got to go through Jesus to get it. He can't go direct to God. He got to go through Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. A sinner must pay for their sin against their Creator, who is holy. A sinner must die physically and eternally be separated from God. But God has placed all the sinner's sin upon Jesus and allowed Jesus to be judged in their place so a sinner can be forgiven and be accepted and become sons and daughters of God and live with God forever. This is what the death of Jesus Christ has accomplished for every one of us who believe in Him. God says if a sinner will repent, that is, turn from sin to Jesus, He'll forgive them. He will make them a new person. You're a new person now that you've been saved. And now you belong to the Lord. You don't belong to yourself no more. You belong to the Lord to do what the Lord wants. He's promised to give you a home in heaven with Him forever. But a sinner must see they're a sinner and humbly ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and accept Christ as their Savior. 1 John 1, 8 through 10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. God says we've sinned, and His word is what's going to be judged by. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. And the truth is not, His truth, word is not in us. Let me talk a little bit about the glory of the cross. My time is gone and I've just got my introduction done. The glory of the cross. God received glory at the cross. Did you know that? When God's Son was hanging up there, a bloody mask, God got glory out of that. You know why? Because God was putting away sin. God was putting away sin. God hates sin, folks. In Hebrews 9:26, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Boy, it sounds almost impossible to do, but it was done. God sacrificed Himself in Jesus Christ, amen, to put away sin so we could be made acceptable. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Listen to this carefully, church. Listen, He's bearing the sins of many. Preacher, why not all? Because all won't accept Him. That's the problem. Everybody that accept Him, their sin is been taken care of. Hey, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9:28. Jesus Christ is going to come back, not to die. He's coming back to get us first. Then He's coming back to take over and get rid of all wickedness and evil in the world. Set up His kingdom for 1,000 years. No one will ever be charged with sin if they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Did you hear me what I said? None of us that's trusted Jesus as our Savior, when we appear before the Lord, we'll never be charged with any sin. Sin's been dealt with, folks. Get that down in your craw. Yes, sir. You're not going to face sin if you're a saved person. You'll see, you'll be judged to see how faithful you were since you were saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, Satan's a lie. The enemy of God and man who is Satan is not willing to give up his subjects. That's the reason it's so hard for a sinner to get saved. Oh, the devil suggests 1,000 reasons. Don't you confess Christ? Not yet. You got too many years to live. You got some good. If you can't have no good times if you get saved. That's the way the devil talks to a sinner man or woman, and 1,000 other ways. Most people do not understand they're slaves to the devil. People think they have charge of their life. You don't. If you're not saved, you don't. Satan's in charge. The Bible says in Revelation 12:9, that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, listen to this, which deceiveth the whole world. He deceived every one of us in his room. Because he's a deceiver. He can deceive a Christian at times too. What's so sad, deceived people don't know they're deceived. That's what's so sad. God's word is the only book of truth that can inform us of the will and the plan of God. The Bible tells us what has happened to man. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the reason we're going to die if Jesus don't come. These old bodies we live in are sinful. But praise God, to be absent from the body will be present with the Lord. Amen. And one day our bodies, by the power of God, they're going to be raised up, made new like His body. And we'll live in them forever with no more birthdays, as Brother Chavis reminded us a while ago. And our bodies won't deteriorate. Amen. Sin affects all of us. Sin brings pain, sorrow, trouble, problems, afflictions, and death. Sin separates from God. Sin cheats us out of God's best in life. This is why Jesus died. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, in 2 Corinthians 5:19. Jesus has paid for our sin. If we will trust Him as our Savior, He will forgive us, and we'll become the children of God and one day live in heaven for eternity, all because of the cross. For sin was took care of. My sin was took care of at the cross. Your sin. God will not violate anybody's will. God will not force anybody to trust Him. He's allowing us to choose where we will spend eternity. You can choose heaven or hell. Today, if you've heard of how God has made a way for you, today you've heard of how God has made a way for you to have forgiveness of your sins and have the gift of eternal life. When Jesus saves you, you'll belong to Him. He promises to take care of you. You know, last night Faye was hurting so bad. When she gets to hurting like that and a groaning like that, I don't know what in the world to do but one thing. I just say, Lord, You said You had great mercy. You had plenty of mercy. You like to show mercy. I said, Lord, that's what You said. That's what I start reminding the Lord about it. Folks, if she'd have been like she was yesterday, she wouldn't be sitting there today. Hey, He's right here. Amen. There's a real God. We need to use the word. Tell God what He said. Remind Him what He said. Do you believe what He said? You got to live for Him, and you can trust Him and remind Him, Lord, now this is what You said. I don't have all the answers, but I know a little bit. Amen. We're to live for Him, learn about Him, allow Him to use us to get out His message of love and salvation. I'll close with this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Praise God for the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the resurrection next Sunday if the Lord allows us. And what a day that is. I just don't know which day was the best, His death or His resurrection. But He got to have both of them. He had to die. But boy, if He hadn't arose again, we'd be in pitiful shape right on. But He's conquered the grave. He's coming again. He might even come before next Sunday. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts, deal with hearts, challenge hearts, have Your way in every heart. And we'll thank You and praise You and love You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts. Maybe you want to come praise the Lord for dying for you, for paying for your sin. What about it this morning? What about it this morning? Think about what He did for you. Because you know why He did it? Because He loves you so much.